Radio Reverb Brighton Festival 2017. Now, all of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017 with Melissa Dennett on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
That's what you're listening to. It's Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Alita Dennett. This is Radio Reverb's Brighton Festival special.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and we're here Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeated at 10pm and at 8am. We're looking behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and the people who make it happen.
And on today's show, we're going to be taking a nighttime adventure with the birds in the woods. We'll be finding out how an army of storytellers is taken to the streets of Brighton. Meeting the creator of a video installation exploring discrimination and resistance in Turkey. And hearing how new technology is being used to dramatic effect to raise awareness of nuclear testing in the Australian outback. That's in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, kindly supported by the Brighton Festival. Kicking off with fresh sounds from Brighton, debut airplay for this, I suspect. This is Forrester 4 and Cast Away. Fresh sounds out of Brighton. That's Forrester 4 and Cast Away. You listen to the Radio Reverb Brighton Festival special show. As we go into the last week of the Brighton Festival, there is still a cornucopia of festival goodness to be brought to you. And Radio Reverb is the place where you'll find it. So, of course, you'll find us on 97.2 FM in Brighton and Hove, on DAB online at radioreverb.com. And you'll also find us on DAB in Sussex and Surrey via Upload Radio. I'm Alita Dennett and she's Rebecca Sandals.
I am indeed. You didn't mention Twitter and everything else.
Oh, yeah, Twitter and everything else. I'll mention that.
There you go. Now, Brighton Festival is working with Nabokov Theatre and guest director Kate Tempest to assemble and mobilise the Storytelling Army. It's a collective of local people from all walks of life, including those who are homeless, in recovery from addiction, or vulnerably housed.
Inspired by Kate Tempest's theme of the everyday epic, this weekend they're going to be doing pop-up performances across Brighton at your local supermarket, on the street corner, or even on the top deck of a bus. I went to the Cascade Cafe on Baker Street, which welcomes people in recovery, to meet some of the people involved.
My name's Steph O'Driscoll. I'm the artistic director of Nabokov, and I am putting together a storytelling army for the Brighton Festival.
What's the idea of the storytelling army?
The idea of the storytelling army is to find a way to make the arts less elite and more social. So the army will pop up all over Brighton, whether that is on a top deck of a bus or on the level or in Sainsbury's on London Road, with the idea that if we share our stories, we will get to understand each other just a little bit more and have empathy for one another. And the reason why they pop up is so that people can experience them on their everyday lives. So whatever they're doing, that you do not need any money to access art, because a lot of art is really expensive. You need 50 quid to go into a theatre, into a building that might even actually feel alienated to you. And the idea is that everyone's story is important to be told. Actually, there's a lot of stories that are not told on our TV screens and on our stages. And so this is an opportunity for people from all walks of life to share their stories.
And where have you recruited your army from?
We're working with different communities. So we're working with Cascade Recovery. It's an amazing cafe on Baker Street, and we're running sessions every Saturday doing storytelling performance workshops with them. We're also working with Clock Tower Sanctuary, which are 16 to 25 vulnerably housed and homeless young people. I'm working with a company called Miss Rep and Audio Active, which is an incredible organisation that works with young people using music for social change and development.
What kind of stories are people telling?
The stories are based on a theme of the everyday epic, which is Kate's theme of the festival.
That's Kate Tempest.
That is Kate Tempest, yes. What a G. And we have been working with loads of different practitioners, whether they're spoken word artists or playwrights, as well as like hip-hop artists, who have come down and led sessions to help people kind of to pull out what their everyday epic is.
Can't think, can't drink, can't sleep, can't walk, can hardly talk. Falling on this sidewalk. In the gutter I lie. Warm, cosy lies. No, I didn't fall. There's no problem here at all. Now the darkness falls where I fell. Who knows what truth there is to tell? And sleep. The drinking thinkers sleep.
I've been sitting in on your session this afternoon,
yeah.
And there's a really great atmosphere in the room. There's a real buzz and people are sharing their stories. How would you describe the kind of feeling that you're getting from the group?
It's really beautiful. Like, to share stories, I think it's a powerful thing. And I think we understand what our role is within the world when we hear a story that we can relate to and connect to. Well, yeah, they're being really, really honest with their tales. And I think we don't have enough of that. And that's something what this project is doing, is being like, if we can share our stories and be honest with one another, we can understand each other just a little bit more. But what people are doing is a really brave thing. Like, what you're saying is, if you are being honest, that sometimes opens yourself up to be vulnerable. And so within this room, there is an incredible feeling of support and bravery when doing this project.
My name's Aidy, and I come here because I've never done anything like this before in my whole entire life. And to be perfectly honest with you, I fancied challenging myself. So I kind of felt that this would be a good process for me to go through, to learn a bit about myself and to, challenge myself and get out of my comfort zone, really.
My name's Craig. I've been writing for years, and Kate's theme, The Everyday Epic, really fired me up. I feel everyone's got a story to tell. This has given us a platform to ignite that energy and excitement from turning an everyday epic into the here and now. And I've got empowerment from it, in seeing other people get set alight by, creativity.
So, hi, my name's Nu. I guess mostly I was inspired to get involved and do something in the festival, really. And obviously with Kate Tempest bringing the everyday epic and the opportunity for people to see and receive art in different ways, that inspired me, and I wanted to be part of that, to take it to the streets and let people have free art. It's amazing. I think it's a great idea, and I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Hi, I'm Chris. I love writing. I've written for a long time, but getting up and performing has always scared me. In the first session, I was in the corners, and I wouldn't say boo to a goose, but we're going, 7-8 weeks now? And now I'm getting up and reading my stuff out, and it's brilliant, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, just for myself being a writer, I can get one-dimensional and hearing other people's stuff, learning things like, of getting a skeleton of a story or a poem or spoken word down, and then getting the meat around it. I've learnt that here, and different aspects of the way we perform it and the way that we can act and tell our story. But really simple, but also really sort of encouraging and really getting a buzz from coming.
It's a great mix of people that come here and are part of this. Some people have written for years, other people, this is their absolute first time of writing anything. So it's inspiring for me to be around everybody and finding, when I'm feeling insecure about stuff I've written, that everybody's feeling insecure. So you kind of find a bravado, a family kind of energy in these rooms, and that's why I love it. And also I love the fact that Steph has sorted out that every week we get somebody else coming in, somebody new coming in who has something different to offer us and something different to help us develop, whether it be performance skills or actual writing skills. So, yeah.
You're going to be performing this in public to an audience of people in Brighton and Hove who are probably just going to stumble upon you and not even be aware of what's going on. What would you like an audience to gain or learn from this?
I reckon empowerment, sharing with people that the everyday epic is not just the everyday epic, so to speak, that there is a journey, there is excitement in life, and for people to get creative themselves, yeah. To think that the average Joe's done a course like this and delivered it to the public, that they can write, they can get artistic, that they've got a story to tell. So really for me it was just getting across that everyone's got it, let's all do it together. Very similar to how Kate's put it across, really. But yeah, just empowerment, really.
I'd like to surprise the audience, we're going to be popping up and they're going to be going about their everyday biz. And apart from what Craig said, which I think is absolutely brilliant and absolutely right, just shocking people out of the everyday, We're just going down to the local shops and suddenly there's somebody reading poetry, there's somebody telling a story, and just, getting a buzz out of it.
There are going to be quite a few poignant ones and touching ones that I'm sure are going to be delivered whilst being out there. And for me, it's kind of giving the general public, if you like, a bit more of an understanding and something that they wouldn't ordinarily listen to or hear. And if that can, raise an awareness around whatever that might be, well, then that's got to be a wonderful thing, in my opinion.
I'm terrified of the actual performance part, if I'm honest with you.
I can imagine.
To me, I can only liken it to busking. So hopefully people will be able to stop. We'll have a couple of minutes. It won't take long, But hopefully they will have the time just to stop and share our stories with us.
I've obviously seen from what you've been telling me today that it's a fantastically supportive atmosphere and it's inspired all of you really clearly, and you're hoping it's going to inspire the audience. Where do you think you might go after May has finished creatively as a result of doing this?
Blimey, myself, I have no clue, but I've made a little promise to myself a little while ago that anything that's kind of put in my path or presented to me, I'm going to try it at least three times, and then if I like it, continue with it. So whatever's in answer to your question, if anything's presented to me, I'm going to give it a go and see what happens, really. So yeah, my mind is fully much open to this sort of thing.
Yeah, I think for myself, it's definitely continue writing, different courses, even be a facilitator of a course, you know, maybe some youngsters, 16 to 25s, share my experience there, but definitely sharing this experience with other people at the forefront of my creativity in doing the course, yeah, definitely.
I'd like to explore theatre a little bit more. This is my first sort of year of doing anything like this, and it's got my interest, and I could see myself doing something else.
That's the Storytelling Army. It's been put together by Nabokov Theatre and the Brighton Festival, inspired by Kate Tempest. And you're going to find them all over the place this coming weekend. So they'll be popping up on random places across Brighton, maybe on the street corner in your local park, outside Tesco's. And they're also planning on having an outdoor stage on Sunday. Don't have any more information about that as yet. But if you look at the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org, you will find that. And I've just been really impressed by the way that Kate Tempest has put her mark on this festival, and the amount and the diversity of spoken word content there's been.
Yeah, I mean, I was just flicking back through the programme because 2 weeks ago seems like a lifetime that we were talking about the poem trail and the in their shoes. And, you know, from there on, I think Luke Wright, who performed The Toll at the Spire last week, and you spoke to him. And there's an evening of at the Spire tonight.
Kate Tempest coming up again on Friday.
Exactly, and the Picador Poetry, which the ability to watch live from lying in my bed was fantastic the other night.
Slattern.
To me, I mean, listening to the Storytelling Army and how they've been inspired to actually recognise the fascinating stories that they have, and you were talking about they'll be popping up all over Brighton, I get a sense that maybe, you know, these Storytelling Armies may be popping up in living rooms around Brighton and Hove and further afield. You know, one can only be inspired by the powerful way that people are delivering very personal stories, but in a way that's really engaging, and just say, do you know what? I do have a story to tell. I'm about to run into a rant for like half an hour of a story, but I'll hold back.
But what I was very impressed by when I went along to the workshop was the supportiveness as well, because as those people were saying in the piece there, a lot of them had never actually done anything like that before, and the thought of actually performing that in public and going from, you know, just the kernel of an idea to a public performance, it's quite a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big difference to actually having a story to tell and standing up in front of people you don't know and telling it. So I think that what has happened here is the likes of the Storytelling Army and also your place and the development amongst groups such as Audio Active out in the community is enabling people to feel, I have the right to share this story, and people want to hear it, and they have the support in learning delivery styles, techniques that are their own, developing forward their own personality in it, I'm sure, you know, and therefore that sense that it is your story, you control your story, but people want to hear it. And I think that's an absolute testament to Kate Tempest's boot print all over the festival.
Good for her. So Storytelling Army taking place this weekend right across Brighton. Have a look out for them.
The Brighton Festival 2017. Everyday epic.
Ah, Brighton's marvellous Momotaro on Radio Reverb. It's the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals.
And let's have a word now for an event this week featuring a guest who came into the Radio Reverb studio at the start of Brighton Festival, Adam Julia from Audio Active. Now, Audio Active, who we were hearing there, have been involved with the Storytelling Army. They were also involved with the Your Place strand at the festival, and they're basically ensuring that local communities are really getting involved with Brighton Festival this year. And on Thursday, you can find out more about the work of Audio Active at Positive Communities Through Music at the Basement. And apparently there's going to be presentations conversations, discussions, performances about the work of the charity. I think this sounds like a really interesting session, and they've got some of the young people that have been involved that are there performing. It's not just a sort of a bunch of videos and people saying, we're a charity, this is what we do. It's really seeing for yourself.
It sounds great, and also it's a great showcase for the young people.
Absolutely. And they'll be talking to the projects such as groundbreaking child-to-parent violence interventions and the grassroots talent development, all helping give young people better futures through music and for music. So seriously amazing work coming out of those involved with Audio Active. Find out more 4:30 to 6 p.m. at the Basement on Kensington Street. Free tickets and details about that event this Thursday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. at audioactive.org.uk.
In a moment's time on Radio Reverb, we're going to be hearing more about For the Birds. That's a nighttime installation in a secret wooded location.
First, though, let's get some music from Audio Active's Electric Youth Ensemble. Here's You Are Not Alone. Somewhat of a group hug there from the Electric Youth Ensemble with You're Not Alone. I just love that track. It's just
gorgeous.
Gentle, gorgeous. It is a group hug for everyone. And you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, group hugging you all on the Brighton Festival special show with myself, Rebecca Sandals, and Melita Dennett. Melita, you've been looking at birds.
I've been looking at it. It's not unknown. For the Birds is a site-specific installation taking place after dark in a patch of woodland above Brighton. It includes electronic bird song, video installations and lighting effects. I went there in full David Attenborough mode, and this is what I found. I'm in a secret wooded location just outside Brighton, and I'm here for the Birds, which is an installation of light and sound. You walk through the woods guided through darkness by small lights. There's electronic bird song. There are video installations and there are mechanical bird whistles. And where I'm standing now, I can see a number of bird cages with lights inside them and electronic bird song. It's a transformation of this wooded environment into quite a surreal experience. So you walk unguided through the woods. It takes about an hour to get around. You experience the woods in quite a different way. I'm walking through the darkness. Just turned a corner now, and there are what look like fireflies dancing in red lights. Yeah, let's go and have a look. So red lights strung up in the trees, moving hither and thither. Very spooky. Very spooky indeed. It's almost like the aliens are landing in the wood. It's a stream of white lights darting through the woodland.
I know, because we can see it from up there, and then we think, what is that? What is that?
It's an amazing transformation, isn't it? Just being out here at night.
You just feel really special, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, something really special.
So
lovely.
Unusual.
It's like a little moment.
I love that, watching it going down there. It's like a bird. It's like it's flying. It's beautiful.
Yeah. That's impressive, that one.
This one's fantastic.
It's amazing. Mm. So some of it is simple, but very dramatic. I'm standing underneath a tree that is festooned with green lights flashing on and off, and the sound of electronic birdsong. Just the drama of the lighting and the sound makes you see the environment in such a different way, combined with the wind rustling through the leaves of the trees. Isn't it incredible?
It is beautiful. I've got the best spot, I think.
You have?
This is. I'm staying here, claiming it for the rest of the time. I'll spend the night here. Sends me to sleep though, but the sound is like, oh, it's really nice.
And as for the birds, I absolutely loved it. Rebecca, you have still got it to look forward to.
I have. I mean, I was up there doing some volunteering earlier in the festival and walked round before things were sort of switched on and fully functioning. So I'm going to a late session one night this week. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And the weather's going to be beautiful. Although apparently some of the people were tweeting who went when it was chucking it down with rain last week, but that added to the experience.
Okay. I have to say, I absolutely loved it, and I've been saying to anybody they must go to it. So I think there's going to be quite a lot of last minute rush for that one.
Yeah, there are. I checked on the website, and I think there are tickets for the late slots over the weekend. So I mean, there are tickets still available for that, definitely.
Go, don't miss it. You listen to Radio Reverb, the Brighton Festival Special with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. More Brighton music now. This is Rebel Control and One Love. More fresh music out of Brighton. That's Rebel Control. And One Love, you listen to the Radio Reverb Brighton Festival show. And Collisions at the Lighthouse is a bit of a surprise hit in this year's Brighton Festival. It's a 15-minute virtual reality film in 360 degrees, which focuses on a British atomic bomb test in the Australian outback in the 1950s and its lasting effects on an unsuspecting Indigenous population. Well, it uses new technology to tell a story in a powerful way, as I find out when I went to see it.
So do we park ourselves down here?
Yeah, you park yourself right, down okay. There.
That's all the bit behind the screen.
Okay. So there are a dozen chairs arranged around a room in the basement at Lighthouse, and they're just going to get set up. We'll see what happens.
Sure. Okay, so it's 360 film, so we've got swivel chairs. Move around.
Great.
So if you want to put your headphones on, we'll start it up for you.
Right.
The film is about 17 minutes long.
Okay, super duper. Lovely. Right. So I've got me goggles on and my headphones on. Let's go.
This is my grandfather, Nyeri Morgan. Nyeri says, welcome. You come from a long way away.
In the 1950s, when Nyeri was still wandering nomadically in the country, he saw something he had no words for. This is where Nyeri's story starts.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that, one way or another.
Wow. Woof. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, what an experience.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, that's incredibly powerful, and it's disorientating and shocking, and I flinched at that point where the bomb goes off and you see the pieces falling from the sky.
It's
you
just do, so powerful, though.
You do flinch. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. What an amazing piece of work.
It is fantastic.
Wow.
Well, you know, while I was in the experience, I felt slightly nauseous, like I was flying and I'm looking around and then there's fire and it's on. I almost thought, I started kind of clearing my throat as if somehow I was being, you know, the smoke was irritating my throat. Of course, it wasn't. When they did the nuclear bit, it was fantastic. It was moving. It was, the narrative was beautiful to listen to. The whole experience was just absolutely breathtaking.
Brilliant experience. And makes you think about all sorts of things, and it takes a while to absorb. Yeah, no, definitely recommendable. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it, really.
To be honest, this is my second time because I saw it last week and I was absolutely amazed. Also, about 30 years ago, I lived in Northern Australia when these kind of issues, uranium mining, was coming up. And so for me, 3D, it was like being back 20 years ago. I'd been to communities like that and it was like I was visiting them again. And today I got to listen to the script a bit more because the technology is just so amazing that I was really just taking that in. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for people who are coming, but the bit where you actually are in the middle of the test is your heart does start pumping.
Yes, I flinched, yeah.
Yeah, and the important thing is if you go is to remember, look up and down as well as around. It's just extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it's the next sort of step in cinema. You can see landscapes a lot better and you can focus on what you want to focus on, which means that if you feel an emotional attachment to a certain thing, say, you know, a bit of nature or something, the director doesn't have to point you to it. You can look at it if you really want to, which changes your experience every time you watch it. and I feel like if I rewatched it, then I'd have a different experience from the first time.
My name's Emily Kyriakides, and I am senior producer at Lighthouse. We're calling it a VR film experience, and I think the combination of those words is really important because it's not a traditional screening. You are watching a story play out on a screen, but you are immersed in that world. So the virtual reality element, it takes you into a 360-degree environment. So rather than just watching, you are now within. You're immersed in that experience. So it's a much more intimate way of accessing a story, I suppose.
It is a great way of storytelling because on the surface of it, a film which is about atomic testing in Australia sounds like it could be quite dry, but you are taken there with the central character. You're taken into the community. And I have to say, there is an absolutely startling point where the atomic test happens. And I looked up and I flinched as the particles were coming down. And as a storytelling experience, you don't feel like you're being narrated to. You feel like you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel like you're in Nyari's shoes. So Nyari is the lead protagonist. He is an elder from an indigenous tribe in Australia, and they were very isolated. I think they didn't really have contact with Western culture until about the 1960s. Now, this event took place in the 1950s, and you are put in his shoes. He didn't know what he was looking at. He saw an atomic bomb test and had no understanding of what it was he was looking at. So Lynette Walworth, the incredible artist filmmaker who has made this work and who's very good at creating very strong emotional connections between the work and the audience, puts you right there in his place so that you can in some way access some of what he may have felt in that situation.
I talked to some of the audience as they came out, and obviously I felt kind of, I was reeling, I was shell-shocked from the whole experience. Mm. And everyone that I spoke to in the audience was absolutely gobsmacked by it. I mean, you must have had some phenomenal responses to it here.
Oh yeah, it's been amazing actually. That has been one of the most rewarding and exciting parts of this, of being involved with this work, is seeing the response of people when they come out. My mum came and saw it on the preview and came out quite tearful, very moved. And we're seeing that same sort of strong emotional reaction in the majority of the audience who are coming to see it. And when you're in the room, so I've been in the room with the gallery assistants on during some of the screenings, and everyone has their headsets, they have their headphones on, so they're all in their own world. They're watching the same film at the same time. They may be looking at different things because you can look wherever you like within that 360-degree world. But we've had people gasping, saying, oh my God, you know, like physical, verbal reactions.
The film's actually been used successfully to lobby around the issue of nuclear testing. Mm. And it finishes off with a conclusion around uranium mining, which is going to be in that particular area. So there's the thread between the 1950s nuclear testing and current uranium mining. What kind of impact has it had globally?
Well, it sounds like it's having quite a profound impact. Again, it's about, I suppose, reconnecting people, whether they are people on the street or they are policy makers, etc. It's about bringing them back to the emotional heart of this story and really taking on board what the consequences of these actions and decisions are. I think it's maybe quite easy sometimes to disconnect when this is your day-to-day job, or you know, it's all facts and figures and it's all about sort of policy, and it's really important that we bring everyone back to the actual, to take on board emotionally what these things mean and the far long-term, far-reaching consequences, you know, the decisions that we make and the actions that we take now.
And that's Collisions, an absolute must-see. Runs at Lighthouse through to Sunday, and there are bookable slots still available. And Rebecca, you haven't yet seen it.
I know, and I keep getting people telling me that it's amazing. And
it is.
There are bookable slots available. So I had a slight concern when the guy that you interviewed said he felt sort of a bit nauseous and stuff. So I was like, oh, do I, you know, is that going to make... But No, that's just one person, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you've got vertigo or something like that. It didn't make me feel nauseous. I mean, it's disorientating because you've got that 360 view all around you, and some of it is filmed with a drone. So you're looking down. Obviously, you're not seeing your feet, which is a slightly disorientating feeling to have. But I think it's just if you're not necessarily used to the 360-degree experience, it's disorientating, I would say. It certainly didn't make me feel nauseous. It made me feel shocked.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me as well that seeing it once may not be enough, in that then once you've seen it, then you're getting over the sort of creation of the piece, and then the actual content is another whole other level to take on board.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, I am on a three-line whip to go and see it.
You are.
I will be looking. I think they've put some more slots on because there seems like there's more availability than there was a few days ago. So, yeah, I will...
So Collisions at Lighthouse, it's a fiver. It's 15 minutes, which seems like fiver for 15 minutes, but you know, it's absolutely perfect. You will not regret it. You listen to Radio Reverb, Brighton Festival Show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. More Brighton music, new single from Brighton's gorgeous La Lune. This is Bathe.
That track washing over us is La Lune with Bathe. You're listening to Radio Reverb's Brighton Festival special. Now, for a powerful video installation looking at how people find themselves positioned as the other in their own society and how we regard societies different from our own as the other. Onlar, that's they in Turkish, is created by the Turkish artist Ipek Duban. It's on at Fabrica and it takes the form of a number of video interviews positioned around the darkened room, each with its own listening point, each telling an individual's very personal story. Ipek Duban talked to Out in Brighton's Kathy Caton about the story behind her work.
Well, because there is so much negative energy in our lives. And I've been aware of it a long time ago. I'd done a project called What is a Turk? That was basically about the Western gaze of the Turk. And after I finished that project, I thought, you know, maybe the Turkish people and myself, we should look at our own others. That was 10 years ago, approximately. And then finally, I came to make this happen in 2015, and it took me 2 years to find the people, 25 people who participate in my project, and convince them that they will be safe and they can trust me and that their information will not be misused. And then we had a wonderful time together. I learned a great deal about different ethnic groups and religious groups and LGBT people and battered women, all kinds of things. So, you know, it turned into a very rich learning experience for me.
That's a significant length of time to be working with people as well. And how have you found that your relationships with them have developed over the course of the piece?
Well, to begin with, I had some difficulty finding some of them. For example, Armenians. I have Armenian friends, but they didn't want to be part of the project. I had to find people who would lead me to other people with whom I met, and I introduced myself. I led them to my website, and I met with them, had coffee with them, and I, you know, wanted them to trust me, and that in the end we signed a contract. I signed a contract with each one, assuring them that the interviews will not be misused and they will not be used for commercial purposes. And as a matter of fact, their names are not mentioned anywhere in the ebook we made, in the film, and anywhere. Posters, we made posters, for example, for the announcement, and you don't see anybody's head.
I wanted to ask you how this may have changed how you view or define what the other is.
Well, it changed me, I must say. Like I said, what I learned was a big surprise to me. And the audience in Istanbul, There was a large group of people who came to see the exhibition. They were also surprised at the fact that we as citizens don't know each other, and we have a very limited perspective on our history, which is a state-approved history through textbooks. And we found out about real lives and real stories. And we experienced shame and embarrassment. And I fell in love with these people, as a matter of fact.
Did you feel you were taking personal risks in terms of staging the exhibition in Istanbul?
Not in 2015, but today I doubt that even if I made the project, that it would be shown, I must say. Yeah.
Mm. So, but yes, I wanted to, yeah, I suppose, ask you about the challenges and risks and how, so it's the exhibition that the installation that's been shown in Istanbul now going to be appearing in Brighton, and I wanted to ask about your kind of different what being in a different space and a different place lends to it.
I asked myself the same question. I thought, why would anybody in Brighton be interested in somebody, some Armenian, some Kurd, or some, victimized woman or man in Turkey? Everybody has their own problems and enough problems. But at the end of the entire project, when everything happened, and I realized that the issues are universal issues. I mean, it may be Armenians here, Muslims there, Chinese in one country, blacks in another country, and Japanese in the fourth country. I mean, everybody has their own other.
And I wanted to ask you what you hoped that we as Brightonians might learn about Turkish society by coming to see the piece.
At first I thought really that it would just give them a picture which they already knew. Turks are intolerant, undemocratic, not so civilized people. But actually, it's not so simple. I am here as a Turkish artist, but of course I'm a very modern-minded and modern person. And that's one of the issues of Islam. It's modernization issue. But on the other hand, Turkey has 100 years of secular experience and a very long-term relationship with the history of Europe. I mean, European history is totally integrated with Ottoman history. So therefore, I thought, our problems are really not different from what's going on in Germany with Brexit or in Holland, everywhere.
I was wondering whether to broach the Brexit, the Brexit thing, because we're in really, really interesting times, and I think we're also in interesting times in terms of how within the UK how we view and define the other, and the other within ourselves as well. And I think from an LGBT perspective as well, actually, what are we going into this great unknown where rights that have been afforded to us from the European Union, will they disappear? Where are we going? And I think we're in a really interesting time, not necessarily in a good way.
Yes, it is very interesting, but Turkey and countries like the Muslim societies are not very good with the LGBT personalities. There is systematic discrimination and police violence, I must say, and these people suffer. But the good news is that they now have their own organization, which is a big step, and it's tolerated. That's a big step. But it doesn't mean that they're happy or that they feel they belong or anything like that. But it's a big fight. I watched it happen in the United States. There was tremendous discrimination against the gay and lesbians and with the AIDS epidemic. Some people were very happy. They thought these people deserved it. And now there is, officially there is gay marriage. So it takes a long time, to fight this off.
That was Ipek Dubin talking to Kathy Caton about her installation They or Onla. That's at Fabrica Gallery, runs through till Sunday. It's free entry. And I would definitely recommend that you just go in and you just take some time and sit down and spend sort of 15, 20 minutes in there listening to each story. Very, very powerful exhibition, that one.
So that is the hour that was the Brighton Festival show, which has whizzed by almost as quickly as festival. So don't miss out on all the various treats that we've been saying are great, because they'll be gone soon.
And trust us, we don't lie to you.
No, we don't, because, yeah, they're great. Anyway, so you've been listening to the Brighton Festival show with Melita Dennett and me, Rebecca Sandals, here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM DAB and online. And we're here Monday to Friday during festival, 5 to 6pm, and we repeat at 10pm and at 8am.
Speak for yourself. We're also kindly supported by the Brighton Festival. And thank you very much to today's guests and to you. We're going to be back at the same time tomorrow. So from me and Rebecca, toodle-pip, bye.
Bye.